You want to keep this?
Yeah.
We're just going to pray for Angie. She's going to share with us about her mission trip coming up. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for Angie. We thank you, Lord, for her faith. We thank you that she is responding as did Simon and Andrew. Lord, when you called on the brothers of Zebedee, they immediately left their nets and followed you. Lord, you continued to teach the power of the kingdom. You healed people. You showed them that you were the light that was promised in Isaiah, that you were the light that comes into the darkness. And Lord, we pray that as Angie goes to South Korea, and which is a very Christian nation right now, but Lord, there are still people that need to hear the gospel. And we pray, Lord, also for Carol as she goes to India. We pray, Lord, that you would use the power of the kingdom. We know you are the King who has given us authority to speak in your name, and you provide the power to show that we are speaking not in just the name of a historical Jesus, but we are speaking in the name of the resurrected Jesus, the one who has given us the power to heal the sick and to speak boldly, to cast out demons, and to pray with power and boldness. So we pray, O Lord, that you would be a blessing as Angie and Carol share with us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay. I'll try to do this not behind there. So this is my trip about going to Korea. It was on.
The light's on. I think you're pushing the...
Oh, I got it.
Oh, you got it. Okay, good.
Huh? Okay, so I want you guys to say this with me. Annyeong.
Annyeong.
Hasae.
Hasae.
Yo.
Yo.
That means hello in Korean. So congratulations, you know more Korean than probably all of your friends. I just want to point out that the character on the end makes it formal. So if you just say Annyeong, that's pretty much like you're talking to a friend, talking to a family member. And I just think that's kind of a cool. I just light the candle. I think that's kind of an interesting little thing.
Yeah.
So I'm leaving this Friday at 6:35 in the morning with two other EMU students. There are 8 of us going total. Four of us are going for 6 months, and 4 of us are going for a year. It's an option to go for a year, but right now I'm kind of, 6 months is scary enough. Next, I will be going to Dallas, Texas. My wait is like an hour, and, you know, again, and that's when I will be going to Seoul. I mean, going to the next airport. I'd like to point out, I'm not traveling across Africa. I'm going the other way. But the slideshow wouldn't let me do that. So that's the pointer. So I'd just like to point out, that's North Korea. Mm-hmm. The bottom one is South Korea. I'm not going to North Korea. Everyone keeps asking me if I'm going. I'm not going to North Korea. I'm not Dennis Rodman. So Incheon is the name of the airport in South Korea. That's where I'll be landing. A bus will take me and the other scholars from this airport to the Sujong campus of Korea University, which where I will be staying for like a month. It's really close to my province, which is super cool. So that is the name of my province. I can't even say it that well, but it's like Chungcheongnam-do, something like that. But most people just say Chungnam. And you can see it's kind of like... Is this a pointer? I don't like that pointer. So it's kind of like on the west coast, kind of. Jeju Island, if you can see, it's like the bottom left. That's like the Hawaii of South Korea, and it's really pretty. And I got invited to go to that, which is super exciting. So all of the scholars are going to be going to all of these different provinces in South Korea. Everyone's been asking me about Seoul. And the answer is I'm not going to be in Seoul, but I can go to Seoul ever so often. Not every weekend, apparently, according to my professor, but that is Seoul in the nighttime. So the name of the organization that I'm going through is called TALK. TALK's been around since 2008 and is available to undergraduate students who live in 7 native-speaking countries, the U.S., Canada, South Africa, the U.K., Ireland, Australia, and New Zealand. Like I said, scholars can go for 6 months to a year, and you can do the program up to 2 years. I'll be teaching 15 hours a week, making 60 hours a month. I get paid about $1,400 a month, and my rent is paid for, and I can use this towards towards university. I get credit for it. I can put this on a resume, making it so I have upper hand in the job market. On top of everything, God told me to do this. This is just the added incentive. These are the top three questions I've been asked. I'll be gone till August, unless God says stay longer, in which I'll probably throw a fit and then stay longer. I'm getting paid, like I said. The only expenses I have are utilities and food. And again, myself and 8 other students are going from EMU, and I'm getting college credit. I like the no tipping thing,
yeah.
Personally. some other interesting facts is the DMZ, the Demilitarized Zone, which divides North Korea and South Korea. You can't take pictures. You will get arrested and probably shot if you take pictures there. Also, as Pastor Brian said, Christianity is the leading religion in South Korea, but Buddhism is also very popular. There's a lot of Buddhist temples I'll be visiting. I don't know if they're going to be in action, if that makes any sense, but cool nonetheless. And then there's the why of all of this. Why am I going? Why am I standing before you talking about going to South Korea? Jesus said this, and he said it in a way that I didn't interpret it, but how I interpret it is that God told me to do this. I had class canceled on a day that this was supposed, that I had a class, that the pre-welcome to the program kind of happened. My interview happened on a day I had class canceled. My passport came 2 weeks early, which is amazing. And everything's just been falling into place. Even when my parents said, you can't afford this opportunity, I pushed through and I said, no, I'm doing this. God's got it. God has sent me to do this, and I want my students and all the people who meet me to be able to say, that girl has something about her. Because it's not a Christian organization, and I'm not going there to share the good news. I'm going to there to teach English, which is also good news if you don't live in America. But and I want people to see that. And that is the end of my slideshow. It's been pretty small. I have a blog. If you're interested, I'll be maintaining that while I'm gone. Just kind of, you know, pictures and words and everything. And that is my slideshow.
Thank you. And as I mentioned, in the gospel lesson, it always amazed me when you hear Andrew and Peter just getting up and leaving everything that they had and following Jesus. And we're going to pray over Angie, but it was amazing to see her willingness to do this. And when she said that God told her, and then she started telling me about all the things he lined up in order to make this happen, it was very, very encouraging. So thank you, Angie, for sharing. Carol.
Hello. I've presented on Bethania before. I think it was less than a year ago. It was probably after we got back from our last trip, which was a year ago in February. So I think you're familiar with some of the basics about India and the children there. There are about 500 million children who live in poverty there. And so it's a huge field of need. And Bethania, of course, is small by comparison. But the ministry there is so touching and so moving to be a part of and to see. So I'm looking forward to going back and to seeing the many good things that God is doing there. He is truly doing a beautiful work in India. As you see, what we're going to do is just take a little tour through the Bethania website. I'm going to see if I can actually read some of the things there. The mission of Bethania Kids is to nurture and equip the children of India to change their world through Jesus' love. And I will say right from the beginning that they experience Jesus' love in this ministry. Some of them live in orphanages that we call homes. Many of them are cared for in care centers. Those exist right now in two locations. One of them is in Cody, and we'll be going there on the website soon. The other is in Odisha, which is our newest area where children are cared for in care centers. That means that they're cared for us during the day, but then they go to whatever home situation they have at night. But this allows them to be cared for physically, emotionally, and spiritually, through Christ, and to have a lot of, it allows us to have a lot of influence in their lives and in the lives of their families. So those are the basically the two kinds of ministries, the main ministries that we have in South India. So this trip, we're taking a team of 10 people, and most of us are Board of Advisor members, have been for a good number of years, and committed to the ministry. Some have even lived in India. Some have been there and some have not. Many of us are meeting one another for the first time. Also part of the team is a small video crew, which will be led by Don, my husband. And he's going to create a new video. You can see right at the bottom of this homepage that there's a video there called Seeds on the Wind. That's been a fundraising tool for Bethania for the last 10 years. It's time for a new one. The title of the new video will be Jesus, You Are My Treasure. So they are going to shoot that video while we're there. The rest of us on the team will be working with the children and interacting with the staff throughout the time that we're there. We're flying on February 14th. We'll be meeting in Washington, Dulles Airport, coming from all over the country, actually, and meeting there and then going on from there to India. And we'll be returning on the 26th of February. So our main reasons for going are to continue to build relationships with the children over there. We do this by interacting with them. We're able to interact with them in a couple of ways. We have interpreters, and so we do participate in their worship, their Bible reading, their singing, and so on with them. We can also do some Bible reading in English with them and interpret. But we also have a curriculum, an ESL curriculum that we do with them. And that's something that I will be leading when we're there. The purpose of the video, obviously, would be fundraising. And there are actually two opportunities to contribute to Bethania. One of them is in our Sponsor a Child program. And I don't know if, yes, you've got that up there right now. Which has recently, just this past year, undergone a change in philosophy. Instead of sponsoring just one child, you're sponsoring a child within a community. So there's a community focus. And you learn about this child, but also about their whole life. And when you are informed about the child, you're informed about the child within that context, the context of their life. And So there are opportunities to sponsor at both the home level, which is $50 a month, or the care center level, and that's $30 a month. There are also opportunities to join our board of advisors, and that's a wonderful way to undergird the whole ministry, because Bethany has promised to its donors, its sponsor, a child donors, is that 100% of your donation will go toward the ministry to the children. This is only possible because of our board of advisors. And so the board of advisors are taking a deeper level of commitment financially by pledging $1,000 a year to help undergird all of the costs of the ministry. So where will we be going on this trip? First of all, we'll be landing in central South India and getting a short flight to Rajahmundry. Rajahmundry is our newest orphanage or home. It's just a fantastic place. It's boys only. It's just been built in the last couple of years. There's a video here which shows a little tour from the roof of the current building. But when I was there last year, it was clear that a lot had happened since this video was made. But this is the site around the building. It's a U-shaped building. It's really beautiful. You can't see how beautiful it is from the roof, but about three-quarters of the way around are fields that are being cultivated, and then on the other side is a village, which is actually a suburb of Rajahmundry. So, and when you drive through the village, you see, well, yeah, this is typical in India. A lot of, shacks, really, that people are living in. And our children have largely been referred from Rajahmundry and this surrounding kind of rural, semi-rural area. Many people know about our home there, and you know, if they know of a child who's in desperate need, they'll try to get him there. And right now it is just only boys, and I believe that this home will stay only boys. They are delightful. When you go there, they just cover you. You know, they're all around you, swarming around. They want to shake your hand. They want you to know their name and interact with them personally. They're just hungry for love and hungry to give love, and it's really a delight to be there. Bright, ambitious kids. I mean, it's the nurture that's going on, and the way these children are being protected and cared for is just astounding. From Rajahmundry, we will take a flight that lands us kind of at the base of the mountain that we will go up on this kind of hairpin turn drive to Cody Canal. Cody Canal is where we have the largest number of ministries in one place. We have a number of care centers there. They're located all around the city. And people bring their children, you know, early in the morning. They pick them up at night. These are day laborers. They might be single mothers. They might be grandparents. Whoever has charge of this child gives the child to Bethania for, you know, the day. And there's actually a lot of demand to get your child into this program because these kids, with the preparation they get, do better than most once they get to school. There's also after school program for older children. So we take our children from the daycare up through, we accompany them through all the way through their school experience, and they're getting aftercare through that. So they have continued contact with Bethania. There is a program there for children with disabilities, particularly cerebral palsy. That's where it started, and that's in one particular center. Beautiful to see the work that's going on there. And we have two homes there, a boys' home and a girls' home. So there's a lot to see in Cody, and we'll be spending like 2.5 days there. From there, we go to down the mountain on another sort of hair-raising ride, and to the plains, just at the base of the mountain, to Kanavati. This was our original home, and we have 36 children there now. It's both boys and girls. We'll be spending a day there. It's a lovely spot, very difficult to get to. I couldn't believe the road. It's sort of, you take a back road off the main road, and just, you know, there's nothing like it, nothing like the roads in India. But again, when we got there, you know, tremendous work going on with the children, and they actually have quite a few gardens and things that they're planting around there. So the children are involved in cultivating the land, as well as, you know, their school studies and so on. From Kanavati, we will go south on about a half day's drive to the tip of India in Nagercoil, and where we will be staying at Grace Home. And Grace is an all-girls home. There are about 80 girls being cared for there from all kinds of desperate situations, and they're absolutely beautiful. The caregivers there last year when we were there told individual stories of some of the children who had come from you know, difficult situations, and it's obvious that these girls are highly valued by their caregivers, and that the sorrows and so on that they experience are being replaced with joy in the Lord. So it's a wonderful thing. We do have prayer requests that I don't have on a PowerPoint, but we'll publish those in the church bulletin over the next couple of weeks so that you can pray naturally for the health and safety of our travelers, and for deepening relationships among us, members of the board, as we work together. Also, second would be for effective ministry, so that our children there would experience Christ in everything that we do and in us. And third, for the Spirit's guidance and protection as our video crew goes out to shoot. Obviously, in a situation like this, you don't want to be overly, you know, noticeable. So we're just praying that God will open doors for the video crew and show them what to shoot and how and who, and just make a way for that, because the video. Prior video that we've been using, Seeds on the Wind, has been a powerful tool in undergirding this ministry. So thank you. I appreciate your time. I will have some materials on the back table that you can take a look at.
Thank you. As you heard in the gospel lesson today, Jesus went to the area of Zebulun and Naphtali. And this is an area that, during the time of the nation of Israel, was often considered dark. It was around the Sea of Galilee. It was in the north. And the prophecy that we hear Matthew saying was fulfilled in Jesus leaving Nazareth and going to Capernaum is the fulfillment of the promise that the light would come wherever there is a need, where there's darkness. And our Rotary Club is doing a Project Dignity, which is wanting to put in 100 toilets in India, at an area where people die regularly because they don't have a simple thing like we take for granted. And so when I heard about what Bethany is doing, as we hear often, that was important to highlight that you know, a lot of people are doing really good things, but I love the fact that Bethania and others are doing this specifically because Jesus said to do it, to love the orphans and the untouchables, as I believe, aren't the orphans often referred to as untouchables? Cast? Yeah. Yeah, the cast of the untouchables, the lower cast. And so they're basically looked at as, you know, don't help them because they'll come back better if they're not helped, right? So it's really, they deserve to be where they are, yes. And so I just feel like that's so impressive. And as you hear Jesus going out into the under the Sea of Galilee and seeing Zebedee with his sons there, some people have said, well, why does he call them and they immediately leave? Well, they according to Scripture, according to John anyways, they already knew Jesus. They'd already experienced Jesus. Jesus had a relationship with them. But what was amazing is that to be called at this late of a date in their life, they would normally have gone to be taught by a rabbi when they were before the age of 12. They would get into their official training at the age of 12. For them to be called later in life, probably over the age of 18 even, we don't know for sure, but probably, was a phenomenal blessing. And so the fact that these disciples leave their father Zebedee, which sounds really callous, you know, you're basically on your own, Dad. I'm going to take off and do something else. The fact that they had already had this relationship and that they were deciding to go and do these things is really impressive. So we want to encourage that, and we want to recognize that the kingdom, which God is, with the King of Kings, has given to us, the authority that he tells us we have to go and to do what he's called us to do, and the power that he provides for us is really important for us to know. And the mission field starts here. It starts at our homes, in our families, on campus, in our communities, and goes from there. Jesus did not make a mistake when he said, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so this is a day where we contemplate and think about what it means to be part of the kingdom. We know we just celebrated last week and the week before the truth of the fact that we are a covenant people. We have a covenant with God. He brought our, we celebrated last week, Gloria's entry into the kingdom through baptism. We know we're a covenant people, but this today is a challenge for us to be kingdom people, to know that we have been given authority to go and make disciples of all nations, to start at home and move out, and that he gives us the power to do that. Just as he gave the power to the disciples to go out and do the things that he did, that he said we would be doing greater things than him. So my challenge to you today is to remember your kingdom people and that God has a call on your life. I want to ask Angie and Carol to come forward, and I want to invite anyone who feels called to do so to come forward. We're going to pray over them and commission them to go out and to be the witnesses God has called them to be. So if they would come up, we'll even give them something to kneel on.